On what station can you hear talk shows, country music, games, funk, and more? Why, it's the University of Central Missouri's The Beat, the best in college radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. I am so excited to be here today with you guys. It's going to be a great episode. Welcome to the sixth episode. Actually, it's the seventh episode. I keep losing count. I'm your host, Colin Somewhere, and on today's show, we'll first start off by telling you what happened over the weekend. It was a pretty crazy week. Plus, I'll do power rankings and make predictions for this week. That's all coming up right here on UCM The Beat. So first, let's talk about what has happened in the past week of the season. On Tuesday, the Royals unfortunately lost to the Toronto Blue Jays 4-1. It was a very sad, sad day for the Royals. But, you know, I think they're going to keep getting better. I hope so. Chris Bubich started this game for the Royals. He gave up 2 runs on 7 hits with 1 walk and 4 strikeouts. The Diamondbacks upset the Padres and beat them 8-6. The Diamondbacks scored 4 runs in the 8th inning. The Cubs obliterated the Reds 12-5. They scored 6 runs in the top of the 7th to put the game to rest. And the Reds just couldn't. The Cubs got everything going, and unfortunately, the Reds could not. You know, they were behind prior to that inning, but that team is just resilient. You know, they don't give up easily. The Marlins upset the Twins 1-0. The only run of the game was a home run by Avisaíl García. Both teams had just 3 hits on the game. The Rays beat the Nationals 10-6. The Rays were behind 6-5 in the top of the 9th inning. And went on to score 5 runs. All 5 of those runs came on the home run ball, 2 solo home runs, and a 3-run homer. The Phillies finally won a game by beating the Yankees 4-1. The Yankees' only run came in the bottom of the 9th inning, courtesy of a DJ LeMahieu home run. The Pirates once again beat the Red Sox 4-1. The Pirates had 5 hits in this game, but it was the pitching that really carried them in this game. Brian Reynolds had 2 RBIs. Ronzi Contreras started this game for the Pirates. He went 5 2/3, giving up 3 hits and 1 run with 1 walk and 4 strikeouts. Overall, solid performance out of him. I'll give him that. Up next was the Brewers and the Mets. The Brewers dominated the Mets 9-0. Max Scherzer gave up 8 hits and 5 runs. He gave up 3 home runs, which tells me he doesn't really have control this season whatsoever. He's kind of struggling out of the gate, but I think he'll get hot once again. Brian Anderson led the Brewers to victory with, get this, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, but 6 RBIs in this game. The Braves went on to beat the Cardinals 4-1. Steven Matz gave up 10 hits and 4 runs. He did strike out 7, but that was the only plus for him. Dylan Dodd made his major league debut in this game, and he did pretty good. He went 5 innings, only giving up 1 run and had 3 strikeouts. He did allow 6 hits, but that tells me that he is hittable, but he's going to get there eventually. The Braves beat the Cardinals 4-1. The Orioles beat the Rangers 7-2. The Orioles scored 5 runs in the 2nd inning and 2 in the 3rd. Kyle Gibson did a fantastic job in this game. He went 7 innings, giving up 6 hits on 2 runs and striking out 5. The home runs in this game were from Ryan Mountcastle, Adolis Garcia, Jorge Mateo, and Nathaniel Lowe. The Tigers beat the Astros 6-3. They had 12 hits compared to the Astros' 10. Spencer Torkelson led the team in RBIs with 3. Matt Manning flat-out out-dueled Framber Valdez, even though Framber Valdez went 7 innings. Solid effort from him, but unfortunately, it was not meant to be. The Athletics beat the Guardians 4-3. They hit a walk-off single courtesy of Tony Kemp. The Mariners beat the Angels 11-2. Teoscar Hernandez and A.J. Pollock both had two home runs in this game for the Mariners. And finally, wrapping up the Tuesday games, the Dodgers beat the Rockies 5-2. The Rockies just unfortunately struggled to get runners in until the ninth. They had runners on base the entire game pretty much, but left runner after runner on. And that's not going to do you any good winning a game in the major leagues. Now let's talk about the Wednesday games. The Blue Jays beat the Royals 3-0. And this offense once again struggled. And I know it was against Alek Manoah, who is one of the best pitchers in the entire MLB. But this offense has got to do something to fix it. Otherwise, I don't see them going anywhere this season. Moving on to the next game, the Rays beat the Nationals 7-2. The Yankees beat the Phillies 4-2. They finally got back in the winning column. The Marlins beat the Twins 5-2. And the Marlins actually played well in this game, you know. The Braves beat the Cardinals 5-2. That's really no surprise there. The Braves are a fantastic team. They have players like Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna Jr. They also have Travis d'Arnaud, who's a good catcher. The Pirates beat the Red Sox 4-1. Dang, same score as yesterday. Not too bad. But I was very shocked by this result. The Pirates aren't actually that bad. Their offense has just been outstanding for the first seven games. I'm shocked. Their pitching is decent enough, but their offense, I think, is really what's carrying them right now. The Brewers edged out the Mets courtesy of a walk-off home run. The final score in that game was 7-6. The Rangers beat the Orioles. That was really a shocker because I thought the Orioles would come back and win, but unfortunately that did not happen. The Astros beat the Tigers to get back into the winning column. The White Sox beat the Giants. The Guardians beat the Athletics 6-4. And finally, the Angels beat the Mariners. Let's move on to the Thursday games. And there was not really much action going on Thursday because half the games were postponed due to inclement weather and rain. Yes, I know, rain in the Midwest. That's shocking, I know. Not really, but moving on to the games, the Blue Jays beat the Royals 6-3, and it was a pretty close game in the bottom of the eighth. The Royals tried to make it close, but unfortunately, with two on and nobody out in the bottom of the eighth, they could not get anything going after the Edward Olivares RBI double, and that was the final score. The Red Sox beat the Tigers 6-3. The Red Sox are going to be a sneaky good team, I think. You know, their offense, Adam Duvall, you got players like Bobby Dalbec, you have Masataka Yoshida, who is just coming up from Japan, and he's a stud. The Giants beat the White Sox. The Rockies beat the Nationals. The Braves beat the Padres. And last but not least, the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks. That's not really a surprise right there. But what was surprising was the Friday games. The Royals beat the Giants 3-1, courtesy of two home runs, one by Vinny Pasquantino and the other one by Salvador Perez, both of which, one of them came against Alex Cobb, who was the Rangers. Excuse me, this is not the Rangers. This is the Giants we're talking about. The Cubs beat the Rangers 2-0. The Mets beat the Marlins 9-3. The Orioles beat the Yankees 7-6. That was a pretty close game in the top of the ninth, and the Yankees just couldn't get anything going against the Baltimore closer, who is Felix Bautista, having a solid season for the most part. The Mariners beat the Guardians 5-3. The Twins beat the Astros 5-2. The Pirates beat the White Sox 13-9, and I was surprised to see that there were 13 runs by the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Rays beat the Athletics 9-5. The Padres beat the Braves 5-4. The Brewers beat the Cardinals. The Nationals beat the Rockies. The Blue Jays beat the Angels. And finally, rounding out the Friday games, the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers. I was shocked by that score. The Royals beat the Giants once again. The Twins beat the Astros. The Cubs beat the Rangers. The Phillies beat the Reds. The Red Sox absolutely clapped the Tigers. The Rays absolutely destroyed the Athletics. The Mets beat the Marlins. The Mariners beat the Guardians. The White Sox beat the Pirates. The Pirates are finally coming back down to earth, I have a feeling. The Yankees beat the Orioles. The Cardinals beat the Brewers. The Padres beat the Braves. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers. That's a real shocker right there because I thought the Dodgers were supposed to be a good team. But the weakness of this team so far has been the starting pitching. When your starting pitcher cannot go more than six innings, that really puts a hamper on the bullpen. The Nationals beat the Rockies, and the Angels beat the Blue Jays to get back into the win column. Now let's move on to the Easter games. The Giants beat the Royals. The Reds beat the Phillies. The Red Sox beat the Tigers. The Rays beat the Athletics. The Pirates beat the White Sox. The Yankees beat the Orioles. The Guardians beat the Mariners. The Marlins beat the Mets. Hey, they won the series. The Astros beat the Twins. They lost the series, unfortunately. The Brewers beat the Cardinals. The Rangers beat the Cubs. The Rangers only won that game in the series. The Rockies beat the Nationals. The Blue Jays beat the Angels. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers once again to win the series. And last but not least, the Padres obliterated the Braves 10-2. Let's move on to the Monday games, and I'm upset about this. The Rangers absolutely obliterated the Royals, and I'm embarrassed. I'm absolutely embarrassed. That was the most pathetic display of baseball I think I've ever seen. I mean, Dylan Coleman, who is a solid pitcher, by the way. Solid pitcher, but not this year. He allowed four walks, and they decided to keep him in. Four walks! If you cannot control the strike zone, goodbye. Minors, you go. The White Sox beat the Twins. The Guardians beat the Yankees. The Orioles beat the Athletics. The Astros beat the Pirates. The Rays beat the Red Sox. The Phillies dominated the Marlins. The Mets beat the Padres. The Braves beat the Reds. The Cubs beat the Mariners. The Nationals beat the Angels. The Rockies absolutely destroyed the Cardinals. The Diamondbacks beat the Brewers. I don't know why the Diamondbacks are dominating teams early on this season. Must be their hitting. And lastly, the Dodgers dominated the Giants. That's not really a surprise there. The Giants finally came back down to earth, and the Dodgers finally got on the board with a win over the NL West. Let's move on to the injury updates for you. Drew Waters is scheduled to play in spring games. Now, I know there's an extended spring training going on right now. He is making steady progress towards a rehab stint, so that's good news for him. The Diamondbacks, Zach Davies has been placed on the 15-day injured list. He strained his left oblique while making a pitch to Max Muncy. Mark Melanson has been transferred to the 60-day injured list to make room for another player on the Diamondbacks. Raisel Iglesias is playing catch for the Braves after dealing with right shoulder soreness. Travis d'Arnaud also suffered a concussion courtesy of Rougned Odor, who, if you remember, back in 2016, absolutely destroyed Jose Bautista with a punch to the jaw. For the Orioles, Kyle Bradish suffered a right foot contusion after taking a 104 miles an hour liner off of his foot. And at 104 miles an hour, that's got to hurt. I feel so bad for him, but he's making progress towards coming back. For the Red Sox, Adam Duvall has been placed on the injured list with a distal radius fracture in his wrist. He will not need surgery. Bobby Dalbec was recalled in his place. Garrett Whitlock will make his first start of the season tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. which I think is going to be a very tough matchup because the Rays are a good team. The Cubs, Seiya Suzuki is on a rehab assignment. He's hoping to be back by mid-April after a left oblique strain in late February. For the White Sox, Joe Kelly's been placed on the injured list after a groin injury, which, for you men out there, that's got to suck. Nick Senzel and Lucas Sims for the Cincinnati Reds are making progress in their rehab assignments, which is good news. Aaron Civale for the Guardians has been placed on the injured list with an oblique injury. Seems like I'm saying oblique a lot in this one. And, guys, the oblique is kind of important for pitchers and hitters alike. Because when you swing the bat, it really puts a strain on the oblique. And, well, that happened. For the Detroit Tigers, Michael Lorenzen will return this weekend, most likely. For the Rockies, Randall Grichuk will play in the extended spring training, so he's making progress towards coming back. Once he comes back, the Rockies are going to be a good team. Randall Grichuk is a solid hitter. Michael Brantley has started his rehab assignment after shoulder surgery. Max Stassi could make his return to the Angels later on this month. Anthony Rendon was scratched from the lineup with left shoulder soreness. Tony Gonsolin had his timeline pushed back, unfortunately. He had a setback in his rehab, so he's not going to be back for a while. Avisail Garcia left the game yesterday with a left hamstring tightness. Adrian Hauser is closer to starting a rehab assignment with the Brewers. Joey Gallo has been playing through side soreness for a couple of days. He is optimistic that he can avoid the injured list. Starling Marte is day-to-day with a neck strain. Luis Severino threw a bullpen session, and it was successful. He didn't feel any pain. In other Yankee news, Josh Donaldson is on the injured list with a right hamstring strain. Jonathan Loaisiga was also placed on the injured list with right elbow inflammation, and that's not good news for pitchers. It could mean a UCL tear, but you never know. Seth Brown for the Oakland Athletics is headed to the injured list with an oblique strain. Derek Hall for the Phillies will have surgery to repair a torn UCL in his right thumb. O'Neill Cruz for the Pirates. This one hurts the Pirates a lot. He will be out for 3 to 4 months after he broke his ankle. He's going to need surgery to repair the damage. Drew Pomeranz for the Padres is set for a rehab assignment. Joey Bart has been reinstated from the injured list for the Giants after a back strain, and Austin Wins has been designated for assignment after he played some this weekend against the Royals. Robbie Ray is hoping to be back in May after his left flexor strain against the Guardians in the second inning. Lars Nootbaar started him off a tee. Taylor Walls is day-to-day also with a left elbow injury. Mitch Garver has been placed on the injured list with a mild left knee sprain, and there are no new updates for the Toronto Blue Jays, unfortunately, so that means Hyunjin Ryu is still injured. Chad Green is still recovering from Tommy John surgery. It seems like a lot of pitchers are having Tommy John surgery these days, and that's really unfortunate for them. Luis Garcia is still out of the starting lineup with hamstring tightness. Let's talk about the players who have impressed me so far this year. First off, Wander Franco. He's really impressed me so far this year, you know. He's hitting over 300. He's got a few home runs. Another player that's impressed me so far this year, Shane McClanahan, who's actually on the mound tonight. He's 2-0 with a 1.50 ERA. For the Royals, this is a tough one because nobody on the team is really that good, in my opinion. But the player that's impressed me so far on the Royals is Aroldis Chapman. All right, guys, we're going to step away for a few minutes. Coming up, we'll be talking about power rankings, as always. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Inside the Diamond right here on UCM The Beat.
Did you know that it costs $0 to make someone smile? A simple act of kindness can go a long way. You may walk past tons of people a day, not even knowing their story. Someone could probably be having one of the worst days, but a simple compliment on their outfit or even helping them out with a small task can change a bad day to a good one. No matter what, always try to give your neighbor a reason to smile.
Tobacco use affects youths all across the United States. Millions of youth are at risk for disease and even death due to tobacco use. Talk to your kids about tobacco use and how it can affect their lungs. Help keep the future of this nation safe from tobacco-related illnesses.
According to a study by IBM, 95% of all cybersecurity breaches result from human error. That adds up to about $3.13 million of loss in 2020 alone, and accounts for acts like downloading infected files or software and storing weak passwords in easy-to-find places. When everything is online, you can't afford to not be. Protect yourself and others online. Learn more and how at CISA.gov.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. I help people solve difficult and trying personal problems every day on my TV show, but there's one problem that's just got me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. That's one in five kids who may not know where their next meal is coming from, despite the fact that there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food out there to feed them all. Now, I don't know about you, but that is unacceptable to me. Luckily, the Feeding America network of good people is out there collecting surplus food and giving hope to hungry children and their families at local food banks all across the country. But let's face it, they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Blood drives are a significant event. 4.5 million people need a transfusion each year. One out of seven people entering a hospital need blood, and only 37% of the United States population is eligible to donate blood. It only takes about an hour to save a life. Even one pint of blood can save up to three people's lives. So, if you want to help, please visit redcrossblood.org to set up an appointment today.
You are now turned in to the dopest college radio station, UCM The Beat. Keep it locked. UCM The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about power rankings this week, and they're pretty interesting, I gotta be honest with you. So let's get them started at number 30. I forgot to say this before the segment began, guys. I apologize about that. This is according to Fox Sports, and I'm gonna give the reason for them saying that. So let's get right into it. At number 30 is the Oakland Athletics, and they said they're the anti-Rays. No team has scored fewer runs or allowed more runs than the A's, and I got to agree with that. The Oakland Athletics are terrible. Their lineup is just not very good. And with Seth Brown being out for quite some time, that's going to really hurt them. At number 29, the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers have as many home runs and triples as Brian Reynolds has this year. Brian Reynolds has five home runs, and Brian Reynolds has one triple as well. That's pathetic. Their offense is just not hitting the ball well right now. And it's unfortunate because they've got a good lineup. They got star players in there, like Akil Baddoo. They have Spencer Torkelson, who is one of the best first basemen in the AL Central. At number 28 is the Washington Nationals, and their reason for that was Victor Robles has the fourth lowest strikeout percentage among qualified NL batters. So there's that at least for them, but unfortunately, that's all there is to it. Victor Robles is the only positive on the Nationals so far this year. Their pitching is atrocious. You know, when you allow seven runs to the Rockies of all teams, that's pretty pathetic. Number 27 is the Kansas City Royals, and I'm going to put them lower. I hate to do it as a Royals fan, but here's the thing. The Royals have nine hitters with at least 10 at-bats this year who are hitting under 200. For those of you who do not know, under 200 is the Mendoza line. Their 184 batting average is the lowest in the majors. 184. That's absolutely atrocious. That's horrible. I mean, even I can hit better than that. And I don't even play baseball. At number 26 is the Colorado Rockies. The positive for them is at least Chris Bryant has reached base safely in 47 of his 52 games with his new team dating back to last year, but is still looking for his first home run as a Rocky at Coors Field. And, you know, Coors Field is one of those fields where it's known for home runs, okay? It's known for home runs. You know, you hit a lot of home runs there because of the low altitude, and the Rockies are just not hitting the ball. I forgot to say this about the Royals. They have the highest hard-hit ball rate in the major leagues, which is pretty good. So that means they're hitting the ball hard, but they're just right at players, you know? At number 25 is the Miami Marlins. They said the Marlins should be able to lean on their starting pitching. Sandy Alcantara and Jesus Luzardo have combined for a 1.32 ERA. The rest of their starters have combined for a 6.75 ERA. 6.75 out of their 3-5 guys. Sandy Alcantara and Jesus Luzardo are the best pitchers on that team, and their offense is just not hitting the ball well right now. Jorge Soler is kind of struggling. Number 24 is the Cincinnati Reds. MLB strikeout leader is 25-year-old Nick Lodolo. He has 21 strikeouts through two starts, which is pretty solid. But unfortunately for the Reds, their problem right now is not the pitching, it's the offense. But once they get Nick Senzel back, I think they're going to be at least somewhat competitive. And number 23 is the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I don't really understand that, to be honest with you. I think this should be higher. And clearly, extension discussions aren't distracting. Entering Sunday, no player in the majors had barreled more balls than Brian Reynolds. He leads the MLB in expected slugging percentage and now sports a 1.334 OPS. That's an OPS of over 1,000. That's a fantastic baseball player right there. The San Francisco Giants are at number 22, and the Giants have struck out more than any team in baseball, and they rank fifth in OPS, and that's not going to do you any good. You strike out a lot. If you don't put the ball in play, 9 times out of 10, you're going to lose, and the Giants just have to be more patient at the plate. They have a lot of power hitters. They have Jock Peterson. They have Wilmer Flores, who can hit for some power. They have Michael Conforto, who, speaking of which, fun fact, both of those guys were on the 2015 team when the Mets lost to the Royals in the World Series. At number 21 is the Baltimore Orioles. In addition to leading the team in steals, Jorge Mateo is tied for the team lead in homers with 2, and that's pretty impressive, I'd say, you know. Jorge Mateo is a stud. They have some solid ball players like Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, once he comes back from injury. He's going to be a stud. And Cedric Mullins, obviously, and Felix Bautista's having a fantastic start to the season. And number 20 is the Chicago White Sox. Oh, boy. Here we go. Position player Hanser Alberto has already pitched twice this year, and he has a 21.6 ERA in two appearances. And that's not the highest mark of the White Sox bullpen, which currently sports a league worst of, I cannot believe I'm about to say this, guys. I don't even know why or how this is possible. An ERA of 8.31. 8.31. That's, I don't even know what to say. I'm embarrassed for the White Sox. That's coming from a Royals fan. I'm embarrassed. I mean, they got to do better. I don't know what they need to do, but they need to do something. And number 19 is the Chicago Cubs. And the only National League pitchers to throw six scoreless innings in each of their first two starts of the year are Marcus Stroman of the Chicago Cubs and Kyle Freeland of the Colorado Rockies. Unfortunately for the Cubs, their bullpen has somewhat let them down. Their starters have been pretty solid. Marcus Stroman, without a doubt, is their best pitcher. Their best hitter right now is Cody Bellinger. Bellinger's a stud. Now, I know he's kind of struggled ever since 2017, but I think he's getting back into form. You know, he's hitting home runs. They also have players like Dansby Swanson, Eric Hosmer. They got a good stacked lineup, but their bullpen has to figure something out to get it back together. At number 18 is the Boston Red Sox. And to be honest, there's not really much to talk about here except for Adam Duvall, who is actually the best hitter in baseball starting the season. He's hitting .455. Excuse me. He has a 1,030 OPS. An OPS of over 1,000 is pretty good. And number 17 is the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have won more than they've lost, despite trailing in every single game this year. And, you know, guys, that tells me that this team is resilient. They don't give up without a fight. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Let's move on to number 16, which is the Texas Rangers. And one result of the rotation spending, well, Dane Dunning and Cole Reagans are now in the bullpen and haven't allowed an earned run in a combined 7 appearances. Reagans has one more win as a reliever this year than he did in nine starts last year. And the Rangers bullpen has an ERA of 1.89. When your bullpen has an ERA of 1.89, that is going to be outstanding. You're going to win games 9 times out of 10 because bullpens in today's game are pretty big. I've said this a lot over the times, but bullpens are a huge part of teams' successes. And number 15 is the Los Angeles Angels. Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and Taylor Ward are all starting to play to form, but the highest percentage of barrels per plate appearance, that happens to be rookie Logan O'Hop. Yes, that is his last name. O'Hop is his last name. You cannot make fun of him. And number 14 is the Philadelphia Phillies. And they're the only good part about them this year has been their bullpen. And there are two guys who have been outstanding this year so far is Bailey Falter and Matt Strom, who have a combined 1.77 ERA in their 3 starts. I guess Matt Strom's a starter, actually. My apologies. Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, and Taijuan Walker have a combined 6.14 ERA in their 6 starts. Your starters are also a big part of winning because if you give your starter a lead early, they're going to dominate. They're going to do fantastic. And unfortunately for the Phillies, their offense is, they have good players on their offense like Kyle Schwarber. Once Bryce Harper comes back, he's going to be doing that. And unfortunately, they lost Rhys Hoskins for the entire season, so there's that. They have Trey Turner, who's a solid shortstop, one of the best shortstops in baseball, actually. But you have to have pitching in order to win in this league, and their 3 main guys have to do better if they want to start winning ball games. And number 13 is the Seattle Mariners. Let's talk about some of the high points so far. Jared Kelenic has a .286 batting average, while J.P. Crawford has the highest average exit velocity on the team, which is pretty impressive. You know, Jared Kelenic, he's a solid player. He can hit for power. J.P. Crawford is a solid, he's a solid shortstop, you know. But he hits the ball hard, and when he hits it hard, they go far. Let me tell you about that, guys. That's pretty impressive. Moving on to number 12 is the St. Louis Cardinals, and it's been a bizarre start for St. Louis, honestly. Jack Flaherty has allowed 13 walks in 10 innings. 13 walks in 10 innings, guys. And has a 1.8 ERA. How is that possible? I guess he's that good at getting contact, I guess. But I'm shocked by that. The Cardinals are in the NL Central's cellar despite boasting the top batting average in baseball. Nolan Gorman leads the team in OPS, while 33-year-old journeyman Taylor Motter has the hardest hit ball of their season. At number 11 is the Milwaukee Brewers, who are currently 8-2, which is not too bad. Brian Anderson leads the Brewers in every slash line category and entered Sunday fourth among all qualified hitters in weighted on base average. Yeah, that's Brian Anderson for you. At number 10, finally moving on to the top 10, at number 10, the Cleveland Guardians. Two of the three worst ERAs in the Cleveland bullpen right now belong to James Karinchak and Emmanuel Clase, and they have still have a winning record. Emmanuel Clase has a outstanding, I mean, just flat-out dominant cutter, okay? That cutter is absolutely filthy. It can reach, get this, 102 miles an hour. How is a cutter 102 miles an hour unless you're, well, I guess if you work hard, you know. At number 9 is the Minnesota Twins. And entering Sunday, they had the best starting pitching ERA in baseball belonged to the Twins. Basically, everything that they could have hoped for is coming to fruition. Trade acquisition, Pablo Lopez is anchoring the rotation and looks like a star, while Sonny Gray, Tyler Molly, and Kenta Maeda all appear to be healthy. If Kenta Maeda is healthy, y'all don't stand a chance in the AL Central. Y'all still don't stand a chance against that filthy changeup of Pablo Lopez. At number 8 is the Toronto Blue Jays. Matt Chapman has started his contract year as arguably the best hitter in baseball through 10 games. On a lesser note, Jose Barrios has allowed 12 earned runs in 9 2/3, which, given how poorly last year went for him, is less of a surprise as it is a confounding red flag. The hopes of last year being a blip are somewhat dwindling. At number 7 is the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I kind of agree with that. Jason Hayward has 3 home runs in 6 games and mashed the hardest hit ball of the season for the Dodgers. Conversely, their typically trusty bullpen has absorbed 2 losses, ranks 24th in strikeout percentage, and is letting opponents bat .269. This is a strange time for the Dodgers bullpen. At number 6 is the San Diego Padres. Seth Lugo hasn't been a full-time starter since 2017. The 33-year-old has been the best starter in the Padres rotation through the first couple weeks of the season. And it shows he's 2-0 with a 1.38 ERA, which is absolutely outstanding for him. And number 5 is the New York Mets. The pitching injuries and struggles are worth noting, but the star-studded Mets lineup has the 4th lowest batting average in baseball. Eduardo Escobar is batting .125 so far this year, which is not very good. Omar Narvaez is hurt. And is it time to let the rookies play? I think it might be. At number 4 is the Tampa Bay Rays, which I don't really know why the Rays are at number four. They need to be at the top of the list, and I'll tell you why, because they are 10-0. Forget how ridiculous this rotation has been for a second. The Rays have not only allowed the fewest runs in baseball, they've outscored every team in baseball by at least 15 runs. And, fellas, let me tell you about their run differential. Their run differential this year, plus 58. How does that happen? Like, a plus 58. That's pretty impressive for the Rays, who are also a small market team. But the only problem with them is the weak competition they've been handed so far. Let's take a look at their first series against the Detroit Tigers. Their second series was against the Washington Nationals. And their third one was against the Oakland Athletics, all teams who are struggling right out of the gate. And at number three is the Houston Astros. I don't like that, to be honest with you guys. I hate it, actually. They'll eventually get Jose Altuve and Michael Brantley back, but it's getting harder to keep them toward the top. The Reds and the Pirates are out slugging them, and when that happens, you know that the offense for the Astros is struggling. And number two is the New York Yankees, and Aaron Judge is picking up right where he left off with a 1.194 OPS, which is over 1,000, like I said. But he's not the Yankees' leader in on-base percentage, walks, or stolen bases. Those honors belong to Gleyber Torres, who's looking more and more like the promising former top prospect who dazzled in his first couple years in the league. And finally, number one is the Atlanta Braves, and no, I don't like that at all, and I'll tell you why. They lost a series to the Padres. Yes, they beat the Cardinals, but that's easy to do with how bad the Cardinals' offense has been so far this year. You know, their pitching is kind of eh. But when you allow 10 runs to the San Diego Padres, I don't think you really should be at number one. I'd put them at number two. And I put the Rays at number one. All right, guys, that's going to do it for Power Rankings. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up, I'll be talking about the Royals games. Plus, I'll answer some more listener questions, which you guys really seem to love. Last time, don't go anywhere. You're listening to Inside the Diamond right here on UCM The Beat.
In 2020, men died by suicide 3.88 times more than women. That number is way too high. That's why the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is available to all men. Call 988 if you are struggling. You're not alone. There is help.
1 in 9 people worldwide go to bed hungry each night. That's why UCM students and faculty are encouraged to visit the UCM Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is a volunteer-based charity dedicated to alleviating hunger and financial burdens in the UCM community. Any UCM faculty, staff member, or student who presents a valid ID may select 10 items per week from Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is located in the lower level of the UCM Student Rec and Wellness Center and is open Tuesday through Thursday from 3 to 5:30 p.m.
UCM The Beat, the one and only radio station of the University of Central Missouri.
All right, guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about the Royals games this past weekend. They were pretty ugly. I'm embarrassed for the Royals right now. You know, their offense is really struggling. Like I said in the previous segment, they're hitting 184 as a team. When you hit below 200 as a team, you're not doing very good. The huge thing this year for the Royals is the bullpen. I actually am very impressed with the pitching so far. The starters have been okay, but the bullpen has been – there are some players in there who have dipped a little bit, like Dylan Coleman last night, who, by the way, allowed 4 walks in the bottom of the sixth, leading to the Rangers' 7-run six, actually, and – Zach Greinke, he did okay. 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. And Dylan Coleman, who absolutely crapped the bed went two-thirds of an inning, gave up two hits, six runs. Six runs. You should not be in the majors. Four walks and one strikeout. His ERA is now 18. The only positive for the Royals last night was Nate Eaton coming in to pitch. And I'm embarrassed for this team. I really am. But I think, you know, it's still early on in the season. Their offense is going to pick it up sooner or later. We got some listener questions now, and you guys really seem to like that, so let's get right into them. Rank the Royals hitters from best to worst. Gary from Harrisonville, and Gary, this is a very tough question because nobody on the offense is performing like they should be right now. So my favorite hitter on the Royals right now is, we'll go with Salvador Perez. He's absolutely dominating. Matt Duffy's my second favorite. He's hitting .412 to begin the year. Salvi's hitting .237. Olivares is the next guy I'm going to talk about. He's batting .273. Bobby Witt Jr., he's started to pick it up a little bit, maybe. He got a hit last night, so there's that. Vinny Pasquantino has also, I like Vinny Pasquantino, you know, he's a solid bat, power bat. Nicky Lopez is, let me start that over. At number one, Salvador Perez. Number two, Matt Duffy. Number three, Vinny Pasquantino. Number four, Bobby Witt Jr. Number five, Edward Olivares. Number six, Nicky Lopez. Number seven, Jackie Bradley Jr. Number eight, Hunter Dozier. Number nine, Nate Eaton. Goodbye. Goodbye, Nate Eaton. I don't want... The guy's like... It's embarrassing to say. The guy's 1-for-17 with 9 strikeouts. 1-for-17 with 9 strikeouts. He should not be anywhere near a major league roster. He's batting a whopping .059. All right? And Hunter Dozier, I don't even know what to say. He's so overrated. He's the worst hitter. I can't even say it. It's not even close. He's the worst hitter on the team. He needs to go. He's needed to go for a long time, but Dayton Moore decided to sign him back. How do you think the Royals look after the first 2 weeks of the season? Better or worse than expected? This one's from Allison from Lee Summit. That's a good question, Allison. I would say I expected the lineup to do better than they have performed. I did not expect the pitching to do good. So in a way, you could say better and worse. They have a better bullpen, and they have a pretty bad lineup. I mean, on paper, the lineup looks good, but once you get to the game, are the Rays really this good? Bob from North Kansas City, yes, they are this good. Their pitching is absolutely dominant. Their starters are dominating everybody. Their lineup is pretty solid with players like Juan DeFranco, Randy Arozarena, Manuel Margot. You also have players like Yandy Diaz. Which two teams are contenders that you did not expect? Mike from Raymore. What's up, Mike? I hope you're doing well. I would say, as of right now, I think the Orioles are a contender in the AL because, I mean, they started off the season hot, you know. I mean, yes, they're .500 right now, but they're going to pick it up with the Oakland Athletics tonight. Adley Rutschman's once again mashing the ball. Which player is the hottest hitter and what are his stats? That's a good question. I would say I think the hottest hitter right now is definitely Adam Duvall, who actually just, unfortunately, like I said in the first segment, if you guys were not listening, he is out for a while with a distal radius fracture in his left wrist, which is not very good. But let's take a look at his numbers anyway. So far this year, he is batting .455 with 4 home runs and 14 RBIs, with an OPS of over 1,500. An OPS of 1.544, which is 1,544, which, how is he this good? I mean, his career batting average is .233. Which pitcher has started best in the AL and National League? What are their stats? That's a good question, Mr. Jeff. I hope you're doing well. Mr. Jeff from Raymore. I would say the best pitcher in the AL right now would have to be Dylan Cease. I'm going to go with Dylan Cease, you know. Let's listen to his stats. 3 games, 2-0, 1.65 ERA. 16 and a third innings pitched and 24 strikeouts and a whip of under 1. If you have a whip of under 1, you can really control the ball. Another player I'm going to mention is Pablo Lopez, who, like I said, is 1-0 this year in 2 games with a 0.73 ERA. He's pitched 12 and a third innings and has 16 strikeouts and a whip of under 1, 0.73, and I love that for him. For the National League, I'm going to go with Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman has absolutely dominated. He has not allowed a run in 12 innings this year. He's 2-0 with 14 strikeouts and a whip of under 1. I love that for him. Which pitcher has had the hardest time with the pitch clock? I can tell you one team who's not having a hard time with the pitch clock, or one player who's not having a hard time with the pitch clock, is Brady Singer. He's not having a hard time with the pitch clock whatsoever. One player, I think, on the Royals that has really struggled with the pitch clock is Aroldis Chapman. He has a very long stretch delivery, and, you know, it's caused him to get quite a few automatic balls on him. And what is the best start to a season, and what was their record? That's a good question. I honestly think that this year, the Rays have the best record, and they're 10-0 right now, which is pretty solid. But remember, guys, the Royals started 9-0 in 2003 and went on to win 83 games. Have there been any significant injuries this week? How will this affect their team? Well, here's the thing. As I said earlier, O'Neill Cruz is on the injured list, and that's going to affect their offense very much. He was basically the leader of this offense, and that's all there is to it. Can you predict how many games the Royals are going to win this week? Sure, I can do that. I'm taking the Rangers tonight, so, but I'm taking the Royals tomorrow. And then the Royals have a 3-game series against the Braves, which they should win 2 out of 3 if their offense performs. So I'm going to say 3-3, which is not too bad. What Royals pitchers has surprised you so far this year? Aroldis Chapman. Aroldis Chapman, I did not know that he still had 103 miles an hour in him. 103, guys. Before we move on to the next segment, let's start off by giving you the standings for the divisions. In first place in the AL Central, Cleveland. At second place is the Twins. Third place, White Sox. 4, Royals. And finally, last place, Detroit. Moving on to the AL East, Rays are in first place, obviously, at 10-0. Yankees are 6-4 at second place. Toronto's in third. Baltimore's in fourth. And last but not least, Boston's in fifth. Rangers are in first in the West. Angels are in second. Astros are in third. Seattle's in fourth. And finally, rounding it out, you guys can probably guess, the Oakland Athletics are in last. The Braves are in first place in the NL East. The Mets are in second. The Phillies are in third. The Marlins are in fourth. And finally, rounding it out, the Nationals are in fifth. The Milwaukee Brewers are in front in the NL Central, first place. The Pirates are in second. The Cubs are in third. The Reds are in fourth. And finally, rounding it out, the Cardinals are in fifth. Rounding out for the NL and for the standings overall, Arizona's in first place in the NL West, which I did not expect. I expected them to suck, but they're actually not that bad of a team. And in second place is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Third place is the San Diego Padres. Fourth place is the Rockies. And rounding it out is the San Francisco Giants. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this segment. We're going to take another quick break coming up. I'll be talking about games coming up this weekend, who I think will win. Listen, you're listening to Inside the Diamond right here on UCM The Beat.
Did you know that millions of animals are either abused or abandoned every year in the United States? Donate to your local animal shelter today. And if you have room in your home, why not adopt a furry little friend to add to your family? Be a part of the change. Be a part of saving a helpless animal's life.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. A lot of peaches, a lot of corn, a lot of apples, a lot of everything. We've got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. They can get you food even if you live in Idaho or Alaska or somewhere crazy like that. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we've got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Time in the making, but it's finally here.
UCM The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's go over the games real quick for today. And the Royals and the Rangers, I'm taking the Rangers tonight because of who's on the mound. It's Jacob deGrom and Jordan Lyles, and I really don't think the Royals have what it takes to beat Jacob deGrom after seeing their offense. Yankees and the Guardians, I'm taking the Yankees tonight because Garrett Cole is on the mound. Athletics and the Orioles, I'm taking the Orioles in that one because the Athletics, their lineup has really struggled right out of the gate, and the Orioles have Grayson Rodriguez going, and he's going to be a stud. The Astros and the Pirates, I'm taking the Astros all the way. Actually, I'm going to switch and go with the Pirates tonight. I think the Pirates are going to have something to prove to everyone this coming week to prove that they're not a fluke. Rays and the Red Sox, I'm taking the Rays tonight. Garrett Whitlock is starting against Shane McClanahan. And when you go up against Shane McClanahan, you don't really stand a chance. Guy's 2-0 with a 1.5 ERA so far this year. I'm actually going to take the Marlins over the Phillies tonight because Jesus Luzardo is 1-0 with an 0.71 ERA, and Aaron Nola is 0-1 with a 7.45 ERA, which is not very good, in all honesty. That shows me that he's very hittable. Tigers and Blue Jays, I'm taking the Blue Jays all the way in this one. Alek Manoah is going against Matt Manning, and Alek Manoah has started off the year. It's somewhat slow, but he picked it up last time. He's 1-0 with a 4.35 ERA. The Padres and the Mets, I think I'm going to go with the Padres in this one. The Padres have a solid lineup with Manny Machado, Juan Soto, you know. All those guys are very good, and the Mets have a pitcher going tonight that has a 6 ERA, and it's David Peterson. Reds and Braves tonight, I'm going with the Braves. Mariners and Cubs, I think I'm going to go with the Mariners in this one. White Sox and Twins, I'm going to go with the Minnesota Twins because it's Lance Lynn against Pablo Lopez, and I already told you guys about Pablo Lopez. He's absolutely outstanding this year. Miles Michaelis against Kyle Freeland tonight, and I'm going to go with the Kyle Freeland and the Colorado Rockies to beat the Cardinals tonight. Nationals and the Angels, I'm taking the Angels tonight. Shohei Ohtani against Josiah Gray. The Brewers and the Diamondbacks, I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Brewers to get back on the winning streak. Corbin Burns, I understand, has been hittable so far this year, but he's going to look to bounce back. And finally, rounding out today's games is the Dodgers and the Giants at 8:45, and I'm going to take the Los Angeles Dodgers in that one. Their offense finally picked it up yesterday. That's going to do it for this episode, guys. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Inside the Diamond. Next week, I'll be talking about pretty much the same things. I'll be doing power rankings. I'll recap the games from last week, from this week, excuse me, who I think will win, and more. That's all coming up next week. Have a great one, everyone. And as always, go roll.